live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
See, I got mocked on yesterday when I said that the Yankees had some hope going back to Game 3 when they had the home run in the ninth. And for a second, I was like, all right, there's something. It's going to happen here. We're getting ready to leave yesterday, and I think right as we were leaving the show, Volpe hits a grand slam. So we got a little bit of a series here, although history suggests we have no series still. We're in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Griffin is here. Alex White is in. She's a big baseball fan. We'll break down the hardcore nature of baseball. Of course, after we get into, I don't know, what do we call this, Alex? Everything's a gate on the show. So what do we call two fans, one ripping open Bet's glove and another grabbing his wrist? What do we call this?
I don't know, but it's very fascinating how it's turned around and he's kind of getting a lot of airtime and becoming a little bit of a celebrity.
I mean, I think that's the topic, right?
Yeah.
Is this funny or is it gross? Griffin, you think of anything? What kind of gate do we go with here?
I would just call it nasty gate. The way he was ripping that ball out of the glove, it was not just your typical fan reaching his hand out and catching the ball. He ripped that glove open and was trying to make sure the Yankees didn't die that night.
I mean, you could argue, I guess, that's a fan laying everything on the line for his team's life.
So not really a gate. Maybe, a Yankees fan yourself, maybe hero?
He's not a hero to me.
No.
Most of my day was kind of filled with, I'm very intolerant of fans who interfere. I just think it's stupid. It's undisciplined. I don't care if you're drunk. But these are also my standards. Like, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But I'm also not the kind of person who's going to go up and just start grabbing people. Like, it's going to take a lot for me to get physical. Now, if I'm playing sports, then yeah, I'm the dirtiest guy on the block. But when you're in the stands, I don't see how hard or that it's difficult to control yourself. So let's set this up, because I always like to give full disclosure, because I've got potential little hypocrisy that I'm dealing with. So one, I'm watching the game early, and I think I said it on the air. I saw some dude in the crowd before Freddie Freeman hits his home run, so it's the first inning. And some guy's holding up a sign, and he's like, Freddie, please stop.
Yeah.
And I remember saying it on the air. I was like, what a pansy. I'm like, the era I grew up in, especially Yankees fans and Mets fans and, you know, these hardcore fan bases, this wouldn't be like this olive branch that you're reaching out to the opposition, Alex. We're not supposed to be civil.
Yeah, and begging the other team to please stop and
yes,
asking politely. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into this. And the interesting thing, too, is that guy said on Barstool Sports that this has been in his mind for a long time. Like, he's been prepared to do that at every game that he's gone to. So it was not just for playoffs and trying to keep their hopes alive.
It was premeditated.
It was just his moment getting attention.
I saw him quoted as, hey, it's our territory. We're going to protect our territory, which technically it is. But it's the action they took, and I think grabbing the wrist was the part that I had a problem with. And to go back to the guy who's, Freddie,
yeah,
please stop. Like, that would normally, back in my day, when fans were really passionate, that would be F you, Freddie. F you, Freddie. Like, just like as soon as he gets up. And instead, some of the new breed Yankee fans are like, give me my wine. Please, Freddie, don't hit a home run. Like, what is that?
So would there be a sign to go with it, or would it just be a chant?
Oh, I think in New York?
Yeah.
Boston, Philly, some L.A. events. There are cities around this country where you start an FU chant, everyone can pick it up. I don't know if you remember the old thing with Bill Belichick screwing up a chant because he has no rhythm and he's a freaking robot, but no, everyone could get it. FU, Freddie. Right? It's not that hard. But and this is why I'm so twisted on this. And I sound like I didn't think about it, but I did. Just being a little dramatic. I'm so twisted on this because Yankee Stadium, unfortunately, has priced out a lot of the average fans. So, like, even these jamokes, these jabronis who are down the right field line, I'm guaranteeing they paid a lot of money. They're getting money from somewhere. This Kappa Bianco, what is his name? Kappa Bianco kid. By the way, he's not a kid. He's 38 years old, acting like that. And his friend, Peter. So, Austin and Peter. But they got in. But a lot of the fans holding up the, Freddie, please stop. Like, those seats around the plate. Which, by the way, in game three, there were some that were actually empty. Because, I mean, it's like thousands and thousands of dollars to go to a baseball game. But what you get with that is you get these polite fans. So this is where I'm kind of twisted here, because then you have people act like animals and they're grabbing Mookie Betts. I'm mad at the fans who were too polite. Like, I think there's a middle ground. But I'll tie it to something that I think I've been dealing with, because I don't know what to say, right? Because I feel like I'm a pretty decent representative for Las Vegas, right, and the sports fan.
Right.
What would you say if someone asked Alex White, hey, Alex, give me a couple descriptive terms for Las Vegas sports fans. What would you say?
Passionate. Supportive. Well, that's kind of new. Last few years. But, yeah, I mean, those two.
Passionate and supportive. Do we want to add something else onto this, Griffin? Because I think there's something else really important. Passionate and supportive if
they're winning.
Yes.
Yes.
So technically, are we front runners? I don't like saying that, but you see it. But this is where I'm all screwed up, because I want to defend Las Vegas fans all the time. And I especially get kind of irked when I see buffoons from California who are Raiders fans, and they keep – and all they're doing is telling the truth. But it annoys me because it makes me feel something about Las Vegas where they're like – I saw a guy the other day. I think we talked about it on Monday about how the Raiders really don't have a home field advantage. As this person put it, there's no civic pride in Las Vegas. Like, I don't know if being a fan of the Raiders means you have civic pride. I would suggest that if you are over, 13, that you're actually a horrific traitor to the team that you actually root for in the NFL. I've tried to explain, and they don't want to hear it, because they see a Las Vegas Stadium, the Owl, they see it with a wine and cheese crowd, or those people to sell their tickets, and then you get what you had with the Chiefs, where there's freaking 75% Chiefs fans. So, like, I can rip Yankee Stadium for pricing out their real fans and having wine and cheese puss bags stand, in the stands with, Freddie, please stop. But we have that problem, too.
It's very true. I didn't know where you were going with that, but you brought it around very nicely. So
it's very confused. The show is always very confusing. Sometimes I never bring it around. It happens.
You got there. You got there, though. It's the in-between that you need more of. And not too nice, and the other guy way too aggressive out in the outfield, but... Yeah, you want the diehard fans that are just there yelling, supporting their team.
By the way, I like for diehard security people, stadium workers. I can tell you, I felt a certain way about this one. Did you guys see Travis Kelce run up one of the ramps? He gets to the top of the ramp, and he says to some female, I don't know who it was. I don't think it was his mom. The hair was too long. I don't think it was Taylor Swift because she was too short. But he just goes, we own this place. And I was like... Tase him now! Now, you can't do that. That's not
Travis,
security's job.
Travis Kelce, in that situation, you want tased.
Yeah, if you're a real fan.
If you're a real Raiders fan, maybe. Yes, I can see that.
So these, I guess I just said, use some self-control, but now I want... I mean, I said it last week. On a Southwest flight in with a bunch of Boise fans, reportedly... As BJ Raines will tell from the Boise media outlet there, that he's got his own media deal there with Bronco Nation News or Bronco News Nation. I always get it wrong. He had said a flight attendant got on the speakers and said, hey, free drink for anyone from Vegas or rooting for UNLV. I think the person clearly saw it was all Boise fans, and they were like, woo! And I said Air Marshal should have been there when they landed in Vegas to just, as they get off the plane, just drop them. Do we have the electricity noise? We need that? Just one after another. Just tase.
The tasing, man. The tasing's crazy. You can't just casually say you want somebody tased.
These are things I think and say, but here's the difference. I don't go the Kappa Bianco route. and actually execute them. I wish I could. I don't mean kill them. I mean execute my actions, my words.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if this was fun or if it was disgusting. We're going to find out next hour if it was along criminal lines.
Right.
Because it sounds like you might be able to charge him with something.
Now they're banned. They can't go to the game today, right? And well, that also takes away from the whole storyline of the Yankees force a game five. They have their offense finally gets going. They win 11-4 and trying to stay alive in another game tonight with their best pitcher on the mound tonight in Gerrit Cole. So,
how much you want to bet that at least one Yankees fan has a poster with a picture of these two guys going after Mookie Betts and holds it up like heroes?
I'm not taking that bet.
Because yeah, you know it's going to happen.
Yep.
And in New York, they are being, I think, pumped up as heroes. Now, a lot of people were mad at ESPN for doing the initial story on them. Did you have a feeling about that?
So we kind of talked about this on my show earlier, and I don't really blame them because they
knew. Who did you do the show with?
With Frank Nicotero. And then I actually had two today. My father and I did one at 9 a.m., Sports Read the Book, and then I did Punchlines with Frank Nicotero.
I think your father's pretty objective, but he is a South Jersey guy.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, is he from Pittsburgh?
He is.
Okay. But yeah, he's along those lines of Nicotero.
Yes, he is.
Capobianco. Which, by the way, earlier I was going to call it Goomba Gate.
Ooh.
I like that one. That one's got to be a Goomba Gate.
I'm strongly half Italian, so I can do that. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, you are.
But I don't think that would catch. I don't think that's going to catch fire. And I also don't know. We've got the name of one guy. I don't know Peter's name. That's all. It's Capobianco and his friend Peter, who grabbed the rest of Mookie Betts.
Well, apparently one of those boys who was going after that ball has a pretty famous...
We're going to get to that.
Yes, we are.
Don't ruin that tease. We're going to get to that for all... Oh, we're going to wait. We're going to wait. But it won't be a shocker when we tell you that that guy acts like a former pro athlete, a very famous former pro athlete. So give me your take on...
ESPN.
Should ESPN have started this whole thing where now I saw the LA Times, someone wrote in the LA Times about it, in a text conversation with, you know, the guy's name 15 times in the story, you're basically encouraging other fans to do this. By the way, one of the things I welcome, one, I want to see the series go longer. Two, I want to see the Yankees survive.
Yes.
Three, I want to see the left field line and people just come out there and just like straight out just have on boxing gloves. Any Dodger ball that goes down the left field line on that fence that's 3 feet high, I mean, everyone should be in a boxing stance and ready to throw, freaking just go off. Because that's what you're encouraging by writing about him, by laughing about it. Gotta hate this story. I don't know what to think.
Who was that guy again from last season on the Eagles sideline? Big Paul? What was his name that got into the
foot? It should have been Big Paul.
We need like a big, the Yankees need a big guy, a Big Paul, to be in those stands, just absolutely ready to do whatever it takes to make sure Yankees stay alive.
Oh, Big Dom?
Big Dom. That's who it was. They need a Big Dom.
Yeah, Big Dom's the, you notice everything has gone to hell mentally for Nick Sirianni without the real protection of Big Dom.
That's right. That might have been the Dom.
He felt like a real tough guy.
They looked good last week against the Bengals. So
look better. Okay, so ESPN writes about it. You mentioned the bro site.
Yes, so that's my
LA
whole thing.
LA Times, I saw someone else. You know, it's like they're blowing this guy up, making him into a celebrity.
You can't be mad at ESPN when they were just smart and they knew this was going to happen and they knew the podcasters and the YouTubers were going to go that route. So they just beat
him to
it.
So there is no low anymore. You got to do what you got to do to get clicks. And if other people get more clicks into you got to, when they go low, you go low, right? That's the way you got to operate. And I'm sure this Jesse Rogers, who wrote the initial story, who was getting a bunch of crap and still is, I'm sure he's like, my boss has told me to do it.
Yeah.
I want my job, and I want hits. Sorry. There's no standards anymore.
Kind of where we're at.
I guess.
I mean, what, just ignore it? Like, I get when there's streakers on the field or anything, they don't try to give attention to them. But this is the World Series. This is a World Series that I feel like is getting a lot more attention than previous years. It seems like a pretty exciting one, and something like that happens where it was that egregious that like you have no choice, you got to cover that,
and you can't do it without, because you're doing a profile on a person, you have to mention who they are, and
right?
Yeah, obviously you're deep diving on what's the mentality of a 38-year-old acting like they're 19 and drunk college student,
exactly,
or not a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe learn this in college. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Alex is here. It's Cofield coming up. We'll talk about the legal aspects, if there are any, of these two fans at Yankee Stadium who you almost put a real black check mark on the World Series if they had hurt Mookie Betts and Dodgers didn't have Betts moving forward. We got a series, I guess. And there's never been a game six after a team went down 3-0. So game five's coming up. 5:08 first pitch. We'll get you updated in the 5 o'clock hour. But good show on the way with Alex and Cofield and Griffin.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
In studio today, Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield, it's Alex White. We're just talking about the two Yankee fans who are now banned from going to tonight's game. I don't know if they deserve a lifetime ban. My attitude all along with fans is I have zero tolerance. I would like to see limbs lopped off. I can't stand it. People make mistakes. Guys are kind of bragging about, hey, when we sit there, that's our territory. I want to be really harsh with those fans. But some people thought what happened last night was funny. Others have turned it into the most despicable thing they've ever seen. I have a lot of stuff on this, so I'm going to hold it until Justin Watkins is in at 4 o'clock because we want to talk about the legality or maybe something of the illegal nature that went down last night. Again, 5:08, first pitch. So we'll break down the game a little later as well. Okay, we're virtually at the halfway point in the NFL. Do you have a good read on who the best team is?
Well, you were just talking about cheering for Vegas fans, rooting for Vegas fans. So you're not going to love this, but I still think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
Really?
I still have them number one.
I don't know what you're saying. Sorry, going to be blunt.
Not as flashy.
Be blunt, defend yourself now.
Not as flashy as the Lions or the Bills and putting up all those points, but they are undefeated and they find a way to win and they still have a good defense like they did last year and they have Patrick Mahomes. So right now they
have a good defense and they have Patrick Mahomes. I can buy that to a certain extent, but that's not how you handicap. You're a Las Vegas / world champion handicapper.
Well, power, you can't just look at a team. You can't look at a team and them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I have them number one. Not. It's very close, though. I have the Lions like half a point below them. And they keep moving up. And the Chiefs haven't, because, I mean, they didn't cover the spread last week. The Raiders did. And so they haven't really moved, but they were a pretty good pretty good jump in front of everybody. Except for the Niners were up there, too. And now they have just dropped down.
When you go to your programs or your power rankings, is there just a column and you just go, win?
No.
Does the score matter? Does margin matter?
Margin. My power ratings are strictly based off of the sports or the point spread. So where I made the point spread, and then where the game finished, where they bet it, where it moved. Right. So yes, the margin does matter in a sense. But then you break down the box score and, you know, check the turnovers and all of that, and where also the game could have finished. So. It's tough. It's close. Do you have the Lions number one? Or
no,
not even either of those two?
No, I just don't have the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, I want someone to build me the case that, yes, they're unbeaten. That's awesome. But records only mean so much. They're, what now, 5-0 in one score games? But they haven't beaten anyone by more than 13. Mahomes is still toggling around that, you know, TD to interception ratio of 1-1. That's not good. They're down a bunch of weapons. Now, here's the thing. This is what I like, and I talk about this all the time in baseball, and I love it in football. Keep adding. You know, if you've got a system where in the National Football League, now more than ever, teams are tanking, trying to do it creatively by just dumping players. If you have a chance to get the Andre Hopkins, and maybe he finds a fountain of youth, then do it. You have a chance to get a good rush linebacker. Kansas City did that with a player from the Patriots. Ravens,
yes.
Got Deontay Johnson. I think Deontay Johnson still has a lot of football left in him if he's in a good mood. And he should be in a fine mood and motivated and fired up. It sucks playing with Andy Dalton and Bryce Young. And a Steelers quarterback mix the last couple of years that sucked.
Right.
Keep using the word sucked. I don't believe the Chiefs. Like, I would bet against the Chiefs in a lot of spots.
And that's fair. I can't.
Now, the benefit of being unbeaten is that you're going to have home field if people don't start knocking
right.
them off.
Right, exactly.
I'm just going to go off of what I see here on PFF. This isn't cemented, because I have some questions about some of the teams in the PFF top 10, but overall rankings, Detroit is one, Baltimore is two, San Francisco is three, even with Purdy playing okay. Now, they're going to start getting their weapons back here.
Right.
Steelers four is overall ranked through the season, overall grade through the season. Falcons five, Chiefs six. Then Eagles, Texans, Vikings, and Broncos.
Broncos.
But I looked at the teams after the Broncos. I don't love the Broncos, but the teams after them all had some warts as well. So, you know, 10 through 20, is that's a freaking toss-up.
10
Chiefs,
through 20
huh?
is.
Chiefs number one. Okay. I'm like, I can't challenge her that much. I'm going to try. You're the one picking the games and doing it correctly. Kicking ass and taking names.
Well, I mean, to be
take
fair.
The names. Take the names.
There's a few.
Circa Invitational. 25 entrants.
That, I've been
the bottom's getting lopped off soon, Griffin.
One.
Don't try to self-deprecate. I don't want excuses. You're killing it. This is not a jinx. But
I need to do better in our Circa Millions, though. I don't.
Like we actually are going to bounce around on the 4 o'clock hour. You just take over. We're just not that. We went 4-1 this week. We're 21-19. We're not good. Griffin never responds to even put in picks because his phone's busted all the time or he's sleeping in on Saturdays. I don't know what the hell's going on. So you might have two slots this week. You're a nightmare, by the way. We let you in this. We're all – I need this money.
I would love that money. Trust me. So trust me. I'll be I got
where's your
improve.
Dedication? Put in a pick.
I told you. I'm back on it. The phone is now repaired. I have full communication.
But when the phone worked – I don't get a response.
I swear.
That's inexcusable.
I swear I'll be at least the first, if not the second one, to answer back now going forward.
Now,
I need this money, Steve.
I would put in Salerno, but he's even worse. On the weekend text, I don't know where he crawls into, but you can't get a hold of that guy.
I can't get a hold of him, but you can see him just driving on the freeway. His face is on posters all around town, apparently.
Wait, what's that story?
Apparently, he told me he's on a billboard somewhere here in town.
Wanted?
Not wanted, no. I think it's like for either stand-up or something. He was telling me that. Yeah. But he's a famous guy, man.
He's kind of famous. We have some flaws in the Circa Million setup. You see what she did there? See how she redirected?
She's good.
She is embarrassing Chris Felica, who's got a big presence in the sports gambling world. Brett McMurphy, stealer of scoops, especially Vegas scoops. He's getting destroyed. And I don't say this in cavalier fashion. I know how hard it is to pick in these contests. I've done a couple of them and, you know, like had the records published in the RJ. It's not easy to even go 500. So kudos to you for getting off to a good start. Knock on this, whatever this is, that I don't jinx it. We are going to get picks in the 4 o'clock hour, but on the way back.
But thank you. I appreciate that. And yes. It is a lot of work. But like I told you last week, I'm just trying not to overthink it too much. And
don't
just,
have losing weeks. Don't have 2 and 5 weeks. Don't
exactly.
have 1 and 6.
Yeah.
Coming up in less than 10, we're going to get into some NBA draft, some college basketball with a tournament landing here next Monday, and also recruiting. Kristen Peek is excellent on all this stuff.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the Yankees feel different. They're still good. They mostly make the playoffs. They have 2 or 3 superstars. It's that. But the Dodgers have more money. The Mets now, because of their owner, have more money. And in my opinion, the Padres have more talent. Today, they're just another passenger in the VIP lounge before takeoff.
That was a couple weeks ago with Colin Cowherd. Yankees are in the World Series. They're down 3-1. We've got Game 5 coming up. Can they set a new standard? It's pretty crazy. Down 3-0. No one's ever made it to a Game 6. That's nuts. So we'll see if they can keep it going. Last night, a lot of offense. Kind of surprised when I saw the stat that the Yankees hadn't scored double digits in a game in the World Series since 1978. All the appearances and all the great offensive players. But, you know, World Series games are pretty intense, and the pitching is good. That is the biggest reason why the Yankees coming into the playoffs and even in the middle of the playoffs felt a little less than what they've been in the past, because they don't have the number one aces, but nor the Dodgers because none of them are healthy. So this was going to be a bullpen series, and so far that's how it's played out. And last night the bullpen for the Dodgers just was not that good. We were talking about the top teams in the National Football League. Whatever. We're like 40% into the season, 45% into the season. Alex says she's got the Chiefs power rated number one. It's like, hey, dummy, saying it to me, right? They're unbeaten. I don't think they're the number one team. Now they're trending up because they keep adding players.
Right.
We'll see if they can get any of the guys who went down healthy. Most of them are out for the season. But Pro Football Focus had the top 10 overall grades to this point in the season. Detroit, Baltimore, San Fran, Steelers, Falcons, Chiefs, Eagles, Texans, Vikings, Broncos. I'm not buying the Broncos. You, during the break, were looking and you're like, wait, the Commanders aren't in there? Are the Commanders the top 10 team?
I don't have the Commanders in my top 10 either. I've seen them in quite a few people's because they have just been trending up. I'm not buying the Broncos either. Texans are out of my top 10. They're close, like 11. But talk about a team that has the wins but has not done it in an impressive fashion at all. I have the Chargers very close, though.
Sportsbooks love the Chargers.
Yeah.
They're sticking with them. I haven't seen the explosion yet. I don't know if they're going to get explosive. Last week, there were some deep shots hit by Herbert. I think Josh Palmer can be that guy. And then Ladd McConkey had a good catch and run, so maybe he can be the guy. He can stretch out the field. Quentin Johnson wasn't healthy last week, so he has that potential. Yeah, I like the Chargers. I mean, I like their style of football, which is their defense has gotten much better under Minter. And, they're road graders. Joe Altman, really good at right tackle.
Yes.
Can the Colts be one of those teams in the top 10 with Joe Flacco? This is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever asked, but I don't think it's that far off that 114-year-old Joe Flacco makes them a lot better.
Right now, yes. Accuracy and just getting the wins.
Stamina?
Stamina.
He's got more. The 39-year-old's got more stamina than a 24-year-old, yeah. Anthony Richardson pulled himself from the game as if he was, and this is not a knock on, I mean, I guess I could say as if he was an NHL or NBA player, tap the helmet, hey, let's go, line change, or I need to get out of the game. Bad message sent, and frankly, Flacco has just played better when he has played than Richardson.
Is it terrible timing that happened, though, and now he is getting benched for Joe Flacco because
it looks bad.
It looks bad, and it looks like that is the main reason. It's not.
Richardson was, what, 10 of 32?
Yes.
He's just not an efficient quarterback right now.
Now everybody's running with that story, so that's kind of unfortunate that with that timing, but I kind of understand. I just don't think they should give up on him yet. I understand if they want to win now and try. I mean, like I just said, the Houston Texans haven't even looked that impressive. They have one of the toughest schedules. AFC's a little open right now. I mean, look at the East. No team but the Bills have a winning record, so I can see why they are trying to go for it right now to make it in the playoffs. But then what? After they make it in the playoffs, how far can they really go with Joe Flacco?
Boy, the AFC really is pathetic. And that PFF ranking, the next team you find from the Chargers the Colts going way down the list. Jax, is Cincy really the 19th best team in the NFL? It seems low to me.
It's a little low. I've got them 15.
Okay. Well, I mean, they just, you are higher on the Bengals. Mischief Night. What are we doing? Griffin, you buying the eggs, the shaving cream, toilet paper? We going to wreck some houses?
If I end up doing that, just be prepared for a call about 3 in the morning to come bail me out of prison.
Bail you out, okay.
Come some right. Grown man just TP'd and egged local houses.
Don't do it.
This is the first I've heard about this night.
You've never heard of Mischief Night?
Well, I heard it called something different
today,
too. What is it
called? Is it a dirty word?
No, devils or something.
Okay, that's good, too.
Yeah, devil's night. This is new to me, though. I didn't know the day before Halloween.
Yeah, I don't think you're a Mischief Night or Devil's Night person.
Definitely not a hooligan.
No, you're not a hooligan.
I used to be fun.
Are you going to dress up? Come on.
Still undecided. Okay. I don't know.
I'll tell the story later. I feel like I'm being forced into doing it. I wanted to do it tonight. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the plans are at home. A great place to hang out for Halloween is Ellis Island in the front yard tonight. They've got a showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which for folks my age and older, hard to believe it's almost 50 years old, but you can go sing along, dress up, chant along. It's all going on in the front yard. And then tomorrow they've got Rhythm and Booze with an R&B band. And again, prizes for best costumes. They've got karaoke. Their karaoke room is intimidating. It's good, but you have to have some stones. I've been out there a couple times. But maybe not as intimidating if you're dressed up. They're like, I don't even know who that is.
That room looks like if you cannot sing, don't even try.
Yeah, they're pretty friendly there. There's every once in a while a real bad singer gets up there because, you know, you're mixing liquor and singing, and sometimes people can't sing and then they make themselves even worse.
And then other times they discover a talent they never had because of a boozy night, and then they took the chance to get on the mic.
I like that. There you go. Mm-hmm. Could be a new career. They discover a talent they didn't even know they had. Ellis Allen in the front yard tonight and on Halloween.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. College basketball right around the corner. You know, I'm on the Rebels beat as a sideline guy and one of the hosts of the Kevin Kruger radio show, which will debut next week. Recruiting talk and also the beginning of the college basketball season. Let's bring in Kristen Peek, who for the longest time was working with Yahoo. I have a feeling she's already got another job lined up, but I don't know. I didn't talk to her about it. Kristen, how are you?
I'm great. You know what? If you didn't see my tweet, I was just going to let you say Kristen Peek of Yahoo Sports.
No.
Like, I wasn't going to say anything at all. But yes, no, I'm great. I've got some things lined up. Exactly. And yeah, I'll let you know when I land on my feet. But that doesn't change anything. I'm still out there covering recruiting and the NBA draft. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's get the Rebel fans fired up, and maybe they don't get him, but Kevin Kruger is in on Xavion Staten, and this is a really good recruit, definitely a top 50 guy. Tell us about him, and then the race is pretty interesting with the names involved.
It really is. I mean, with Xavion, I think UNLV is a team to beat. It's hard to beat a hometown team when they've been in so long the way that UNLV has been. I mean, we look at Xavion, and he emerged on the scene at USA Basketball mini camp last year. I just saw him, it was 3 weeks ago, at the mini camp this year. Dominant rim protector, inside-out game, can defend, I think, you know, multiple positions on the court. And he's just getting more confident and believing in himself. But like you said, UNLV, I think Stanford is another team that he likes. BYU really thinks that they're in a good spot with him, with the new staff, with Kevin Young, and Michigan as well. But, you know, I hope for the hometown team that's his landing spot for, you know, the fans of UNLV and the running Rebels.
Well, we got to build on the BYU angle because reports are that BYU's got dump trucks of money. The number one recruit in the country, it sounds like he's leaning to BYU, and I'm seeing reports of some mega NIL package. How true are, one, the package and the fact that they do have dump trucks of money that they're throwing out there for college recruits in the 2025 class?
It's completely true. I mean, we're talking about A.J. DeBonta, the number one player in the country, is a 6'9.5", pushing 6'10", two guard. I just saw him here in Las Vegas at the Border League, and he was phenomenal. I mean, he solidified himself as the best prospect in high school basketball over Cameron Boozer. And so when you're looking at BYU and you're looking at new head coach Kevin Young, who came from the Phoenix Suns, who was this close to getting an NBA head coach job and decided to go to BYU and take the program over there, like, he's leaning into the NIL resources there at BYU. And when we're looking at BYU and the resources from the Mormon Church, who has a $55 billion stock portfolio, you have CEOs from Marriott, JetBlue that are, you know, possibly contributing to now the NIL package. AJ DeBonta is 1,000% worth the $3 to $5 million rumored price range that BYU could potentially spend on him. You know, the other players in the mix are Kansas State, Alabama, who are also making a great case. But I think as we get closer to a decision for AJ DeBonta, I think BYU is going to be the favorite.
And this isn't the beginning of aggressive recruiting and having money and, you know, a really rich NIL program. They're going to be good this year. They had a good recruiting class this year. You were at practice a little while ago?
I did. I've been at practice. I used to live outside Salt Lake City. I tried to take the most of my time there before I moved to Las Vegas, and I went to practice 3 times. And let me just say that the point guard, the 6'9 point guard that they have, who is originally from Russia, who most recently played in Madrid, Spain, Yegor Demin. He is great, and he's a projected lottery pick for a reason. This is a 6'9 guard, and we all know he's going to struggle in the Big 12 with the pestering smaller guards that are going to defend him like crazy. But his passing is his best trait. He can see over the defense, and he is going to be the cornerstone and the reason for BYU's success. They also retain talent from last year, and they have a sneaky good freshman who played overtime elite, Cannon Catchings, who also comes from a basketball background who could see some early playing time as well.
Kristen, I'm going to switch it over to Duke, and I'm curious on your thoughts. How good is Cooper Flagg going to be for them this season?
He's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the ASU, the Arizona State exhibition game. I obviously did. He was very quiet in that game. There were other players that, you know, kind of sparked and jumped off the page, but that's his MO. He had the same thing at Mount Verde Academy when they went undefeated and won a national title. He's the glue guy. He does everything very well at a high rate, and he plays extremely hard. I think him and Kamon Malawach in the front court are going to be deadly. I don't know anyone in the ACC that's going to be able to get anything through them, you know, if they have the back-to-the-basket game and the rim. They're such great and volatile rim protectors. But there's a reason why we saw what he did against Team USA with confidence. And, you know, I spoke to him after that, and I said, were you nervous? And he's like, of course I was. But he said everything settles for him once he steps between those lines. And coming to Duke, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but he is built for this. And I think, you know, when June rolls around, he's going to be the first one off the board with the number one pick.
You said he was kind of quiet that night. Who was the story of the night for their hot shooting?
I mean, it was Colin Knuppel. Like, this is a guy, he had 5 3-pointers. He's red hot. He has been the biggest riser on NBA draft boards, especially, you know, in October when teams and scouts and executives could get out to practice. We're hearing rumbles of him slipping into the lottery or sneaking into the lottery. And this isn't anyone that we don't know about. He led the EYBL in scoring the summer before his senior year. He was snubbed for the McDonald's All-American game and is just using that as you know, just encouragement and just trying to, you know, make a name for himself at Duke, and it's paying off. Like John Shire has said, he's the best shooter on the team, and this is a team full of three-point shooters.
How good are the Boozer twins going to be when they get to school?
It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, they might be ending up getting another player here on Saturday, and Shelton Henderson, a 6'6 wing out of Texas. He's choosing between Duke, Houston, Louisville, and Texas, and Duke is favored to land him. But Cameron and Kaden Boozer are the winningest duo in high school basketball. They've won 3 straight high school Florida State championships. They've won EYBL's Peach Jam, Nike's Peach Jam at the 15U, 16U, and 17U level, something that's never been done. I mean, they're twins, for God's sakes. Like, they already know where each other are going to be before they're actually there, and that tandem is just going to explode, I think, under John Shire and the Duke system there.
College basketball recruiting expert, NBA draft expert, Kristen Peek is up on Cofield and Company. Ohio State and Texas are going to play here along with the women's game featuring South Carolina. There's some pretty good, I'll use Dickie V parlance, diaper dandies in this one on the Ohio State side and Texas side. And really on the Ohio State side, it's Bradshaw. He's a transfer, but do we see him explode now with the Buckeyes?
Honestly, I think we could see a resurgence of Aaron Bradshaw, a 7'1 center, McDonald's All-American, 5-star recruit, who originally ended up at Kentucky. I think we can see the same thing that we saw from Khalil Ware, who, you know, did nothing at Oregon and ended up transferring to Indiana and was the 15th pick in the draft this year, drafted to a great situation in the Miami Heat. I'm hoping that we see the same thing with Aaron Bradshaw with the Indiana system, the pick and roll, the pick and pop. He has that range to kind of step out for the three-point line. And then you got freshman John Mobley Jr., who actually went to the local school here at Bishop Gorman before transferring to Wasatch Academy. I think he might be the best three-point shooter in all of the Big Ten this year. So he's another player to watch. But on the Texas side, they have a ton of experience. They have so many transfers coming in, and then you pair that with 5-star projected lottery pick Trey Johnson, who is a bucket getter, 6'6 guard, never saw a shot that he didn't like. So I would say those three players are the ones to watch in that home opener here in Vegas at the T-Mobile Center.
One last thing to get into. I hope you got the graphic I sent over. We usually exchange some ideas with our guest, and I sent you a 2025 mock draft. For ease of reading it, I like to use NBADraft.net. When you looked at that, they have Cooper Flagg number one, Ace Bailey two. As you look down the list, Dylan Harper six. As you look down the list, was there anyone that is missing or maybe you think is a little shooting too high in terms of this mock draft for 2025?
I will tell you this. Dylan Harper is not going six. No way that's happening. Just in terms of what I've heard, what he's been doing, how productive he's been in the preseason and the exhibition games, he is a lock as a top four pick in the draft. But then when you look at that and you look at NBADraft.net, as most of us do, I look at it from time to time. I don't know if Jahlil Bethea will be there, you know. And again, this is late October. We're talking about June. I don't know if he'll be able to do enough to be in the lottery. And also Dink Pate, who, remember, he was in the G League Ignite last year, couldn't go to college because he had already, quote-unquote, turned pro. So he's with the Mexico City G League team. And I don't know, with the size and physicality in the G League, if he's going to be able to get the touches and be able to pop the way he needs to earn that lottery slot that he's now slated in before the season starts.
I assume you're going to be a fixture at this NIL tournament with all these teams coming in and recent recruits coming into Vegas?
Oh, of course, yeah. I stay in the gym. That's all I do.
All right, well, I would go on a whole Rutgers recruiting thing here because that's where I went to school, but I won't do it. But very fired up to hear you on Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. So thank you for the time. Hope to talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Kristen Peek was at Yahoo for a long time. She's coveted. It's a non-compete situation, I'm guessing. I take guesses like this with people's lives. I have no idea.
I'm going to follow her. That was excellent information.
And she's great.
Oh, my God.
And she's got interviews. You know, she put up the other day the announcement that she was going to be leaving Yahoo after like 17 years. So she put some screenshots of all the people she's talked to on the recruiting front. And when you cover high school basketball and recruiting for that long, you've talked to everyone, like every person that's been in the NBA. That years ago, that was like one of my favorite beats. I love covering recruiting. So we don't do enough recruiting on the show. Bottom line, let's go back to the beginning of the conversation with Xavier Staton.
Yeah.
6'10 to 7 feet tall. I saw him at the Rebel football game, took a picture of him. Not like creepy. I was like, hey, you know, bro, I want the UNLV logo. I wasn't, you know, like sidling and just taking secret pictures of a high school recruit. No, he was fired up. He was visiting. But that BYU thing, that's a real story to follow. Ooh. Because we all know, and I don't know why it's not conventional wisdom, we all know that the rise of Gonzaga basketball to be kind of the UNLV of this era, a lot of it is money driven. They had backers behind the scenes and did what you have to do to get players for years. Now it's above board. They're still doing it. Right. BYU might be that next program that has so many funds. They're in on the number one player in the country, and their package might be somewhere between $3 and $4.5 million NIL-wise to get this player. They're a player now. Which is also, the other thing that's fascinating, we'll go to break on this. The other thing that's fascinating is Mark Pope left that right to go to Kentucky. Wow.